Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and today I'm going to talk about Mary of Bethany. Today in the gospel reading, we have the story of Martha and Mary, one I think that most people have heard many times in their lives, and I want to just read the story and just reflect on what Jesus is trying to communicate to us, I believe, about the life of Mary and the life of Martha, for sure. It says, Jesus entered a village. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and following. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me. The Lord said to her in reply, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. Ouch, that's kind of sometimes hearing that. You said, Jesus, why would you respond that way to Martha? She should get some help. You know, she's working hard and her sister's just sitting there listening to you. And there's a lot of work to be done before we sit down to eat. So it's easy to understand Martha's position and her feelings in the moment. But then you also see one of the unique things about the Lord that I love is that he loved every single person he encountered. But his response to people was not determined by what he thought they wanted him to say or what they wanted to hear from him. He wasn't concerned about disrupting how people might feel and bringing a different perspective. And I love that about the Lord. He knows in each situation what to say. And there's a lot to be learned from the Lord on that. And here, he's making a critical point. And the critical point is, it's a fact. Mary had chosen the better part. Now, you could have probably be interesting to have a conversation if they had one later with the Lord, who maybe explained it to Martha more fully, because you say, well, Martha could think, well, if I was at his feet and she was at his feet, we wouldn't get anywhere. We wouldn't get the meal made. And Jesus maybe would say, well, we would have had time for that too. I'm not sure how he would have answered that. But the point is, what he's trying to say, what he's communicating to him, that she truly has chosen the better portion. And it's a communication to all of us about putting first things first and remembering what is most important, what's of greatest importance in the kingdom of God and in the life God has created us for. And the extravagant love of Mary, her being captivated by the Lord, paying so much attention to be dialed into the Lord, is really a posture that I think Jesus wants us to understand. He expects everybody, he's calling everybody to in some way participate in. And the foundation of it really is the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Matthew 22, Jesus calls this the first and the great commandment. It's the commandment of God that is of first importance. Everything starts there. And Jesus, of course, echoed it in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness, and everything else will be added unto you. And to seek first the kingdom means to not just seek a set of values, practices, hymns, whatever. It's to seek the King. It's to seek the Lord. It's to abide in the Lord. It's to live a fruitful life. Jesus said, I've chosen you that you might bear fruit. So that's the purpose for which we were made, was to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, you will not be able to bear fruit. It's impossible unless you abide in me. What does abide in him mean? It means paying attention to him. It means talking with him daily. It means throughout the day, just practicing his presence throughout the day, being aware of his presence, listening for him, just expressing little phrases, little words of love and affection for the Lord, listening to him and responding to promptings that he may be bringing into your heart in a given time on a given day, to put him first in your life. And it also means to understand and know, receive and believe the promises that he's made to each and every one of us in his word, to really believe and internalize his promises. You know, to be in the place of, if Jesus says it, I believe it. And if I believe it, I'm going to say it. I'm going to speak it. And if I speak it, I'll see it. I'll speak about it in my own life. And I, not just to other people, but it's important, friends, for us to speak the truth of God's promises to our own hearts, to let the Holy Spirit help us gain faith, conviction that these promises are real and that they're for our lives. That's life-changing when that happens. Oftentimes, our speech doesn't correspond to the promises of God. We doubt God, we're discouraged, we're frustrated, and we can speak very negatively, like things never go well for me, it's never going to work out for me, and get in kind of a downward spiral. That's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy, he sits on one of your shoulders, you know, he shoots fiery darts at us when things go wrong to say, see, he's forgotten about you. See, God is not faithful. See, you're disqualified. Somehow you're outside. You're outside of God's promises. It's very easy to fall into that kind of a trap. And if that's where we end up falling, if that's where we end up moving into, we lose the vitality in our soul, in our heart, in a deep awareness of who we actually are in God and his constant love for us. He knows who he loved. Even while we were yet sinners, friends, Christ died for us. The fact that we're weak, the fact that we're broken, the fact that we're inconsistent is no shock to him, right? God is love. God is self-donating, you know, giving of himself. He made you. You're a delight to him. And that doesn't change. He doesn't waffle. He's not moody. He doesn't go up and down. He doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't accuse. And the devil accuses all the time. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so one of the ways we combat that kind of mindset is to be able to both internalize the promises of God, but to do what Mary did, to follow Mary, to really have consistent time where we're literally sitting at the feet of Jesus, whether it's before the Blessed Sacrament and adoration, our prayer time at home in that place of quiet. And just imagine yourself each day being like Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet as you reflect on Scripture, maybe read the lives of the saints, or just quietly listen. Say the Jesus prayer. Respond and have conversation with God as he does speak to you, because he will. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And the sheep are not the perfect. The sheep are all those who are baptized into Christ and all who long to speak with him. He loves it. And so Mary's the example of that kind of attentive prayer. Right? She sits at his feet to hear his word. And it's mentioned, the whole story is mentioned like three times in Scripture. And each time it highlights her sitting at Jesus' feet. And that's, again, Scripture, these readings, and the Scriptures as a whole, can begin that conversation with God. It's the conversational material that starts prayer. But understanding, because the whole, as we know, ignorance of Scripture, St. Jerome said, is ignorance of Christ. That's a beautiful and great and entirely, in some ways, unique starting point for us to live in conversation with the Lord. Asking yourself what Francis would often ask, St. Francis, Lord, who are you and who am I? These two questions. And in the Word of God, we learn a lot of that. And the Word of God renews us. It cleanses our mind, studying it, praying it, chewing on it, swallowing it, regurgitating it, like Pope Benedict says. And it begins to transform and change the heart. But it requires the kind of attentiveness that Mary, undistracted attentiveness that Mary's exercising here. Jesus said she's doing the one thing that is needful, sitting at the feet of Jesus. When we do that, it positions us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It positions us to be in a place of receptivity to the presence. Because Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. We're living at a time, lots of people across the globe have very troubled hearts, still battling the COVID virus, the variants. That's a real issue. That's a real thing. It's very troubling. A culture that's divided in many places, politics divided, church divided and struggling. And so foundational things are shaking. And when that happens, human hearts become troubled. And one of the reasons the Lord allows that kind of shaking to happen is precisely so we can see the condition of our hearts. We can see that our hearts are troubled. And we were certain about certain things, that is, the stability of our politics or the stability of our economy or the stability of my health, you name it. But when that stuff shakes and the Lord shows us, none of that stuff is unshakable. None of that is certain. It can be here today, it can be gone tomorrow, just like our very life, right? But Jesus wants to bring us to the place of what is certain, that is completely unshakable and unchangeable. And that is the awareness in faith, the gift of faith, hope, and love given to us in our baptism, given to us by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who's bringing us to the place. If we take the time to listen, if we take the time to follow, He's leading us, and right within your own spirit, in the core of your being, the Holy Spirit has been sent on mission, and He's present in you. And He wants to communicate to you Jesus' profound affection for the Father, and then for you to see God as your Father, not as just an alien force, or even a benevolent but kind of impersonal force, or God who's sort of upset with you, projection maybe of your own experience of your own father, or sometimes we project onto God what we think about ourselves. It's very unhelpful. And so unless we're sitting at the feet of Jesus, we're doing the one thing necessary. We need to settle the issue and posture our internal life, posture the heart in that direction. There's no substitute. This is what Jesus essentially means by abiding, to have that deep union with Christ, as I was describing it, and more, and then following Him in the good part. It's great to see Jesus is specifically honoring this. He's communicating to us that Mary had chosen this, and the Lord was really pleased, and she was being blessed for it. She was cultivating a heart of extravagant love and devotion for Jesus, for the Lord, for God. That's what Jesus had for the Father. That's why He took time alone. That's why He went away. He prayed at night. He often had to get away from the crowds and had to get away from the popularity. You know, one of the challenges in the culture, the busyness of life, it could be difficult for us to do that. And it could be hard to pull away from popularity, energy. Everybody's demanding my presence. Everybody's demanding my time, or the work demands so much, I have to be focused on it constantly. Well, in the end, friends, if we have things in our life that we're so attached to that we have no time on a very consistent basis to be like Mary, we're not going to be able to know the Lord, to know His love, to know our identity, and to live ultimately fruitfully. Because remember, you know, life is short. It is a passing shadow. We're here today. We're gone tomorrow. And there's a meeting in your future, right? There's an appointment that's certain in your future and mine. We are going to meet the Lord face to face. And He's going to ask us, where's your fruit? Show me your fruit. What is the fruit of your life? And the fruit comes from the life choices. This is one of many places in the scripture. Jesus is communicating to us that if you make the right choice and you put first things first, your life will be fruitful in the measurement of the kingdom and the standards of the kingdom, which is what matters most. Now, what Mary's doing, the world, you know, an intense American economy and consumerist culture and the rest, doesn't value what Mary's doing. It values the hardworking Marthas that we do it day and night to become successful. But for the Christian, we have to be wise and walk in the footsteps of Jesus and see both of them have a role to play in our lives. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.